David is presently chair of the Dallas Bar Association Labor and Employment Law Section. He is on the Executive Council of the State Bar of Texas Labor and Employment Law Section. We have worked side by side for 12 years, and I can't tell you how proud and appreciative I am of David. And he's going to tell us about religious accommodation developments.
Hey, thank you, John. I'm excited to be here this afternoon and running strong on caffeine, so we are good to go. My mom always told me that it was impolite to talk about religion, yet here I am today to talk about religion. I was never really good at following her advice anyways, but I do want to note that one thing, because we are going to talk today about a lot of topics that people will have hot opinions on both ways. I don't intend to offend anyone. I don't intend to take a side. I'm just here to discuss the issues. And so if you hear me say something that you think maybe suggests I'm leaning this way or that way, please don't. I'm just here to talk. So we're going to talk about two things today in general. First, the religious rights of employees and what accommodation obligations might exist there. Obviously, some new developments in that area. The second issue that we'll talk about is the religious rights of employers, which is a fastly evolving area of law, and there's some really interesting things to discuss there. So let's get started. Before jumping into the two specific topics, I think it's important to understand the historical context for why all of this matters. And what it really boils down to is the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which of course says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Some of the topics that we'll talk about today are directly derived from constitutional principles, but others are statutes, but nonetheless, what's really underlying those statutes and the rules that apply is this fundamental constitutional provision. Because it is true that religion has a unique protected status under American law that doesn't necessarily exist elsewhere. So I like to think of religion as a clash of rights at work. You know, I'm not stating anything groundbreaking here by saying that nobody can get along these days. Everybody's got an opinion, seems to be willing to share it and to engage, I guess would be the polite way of putting it. And I think that boils over at work as well. And the reason that this is such a difficult clash of rights is that there are really sort of competing obligations here. Title VII, of course, requires employers to refrain from unlawful discrimination based on religion. It also requires employers to provide a work environment that's free of unlawful harassment. On the flip side, Title VII also requires employers to respect and accommodate employees' religious beliefs and practices. The Constitution and other statutes may actually protect the right of some companies or certain types of employers to religious expression in the operation of their business. And when you start to think about these three different buckets, if you will, it's easy to see how those rights clash. What happens when that happens? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's start on the employee side of the equation. Title VII, of course, prohibits adverse employment actions because of religious beliefs or practices. And I want to call to your attention one case that we'll talk about sort of repeatedly, and this is an older case from 2002, but it presents an interesting fact pattern sort of for discussion and digestion as we talk about new accommodation obligations. And that case is Peterson versus Wilmer Communications. The facts of this case are fairly interesting. So the plaintiff was a supervisor, and for reasons I don't remember or perhaps weren't in the case, decided that it would be a good idea to participate with a reporter in a local news article in which he discusses his belief in creativity. And according to the plaintiff in the lawsuit, creativity is a religion based on principles of white supremacy. So I think, you know, obviously a very offensive viewpoint, no doubt, but that was his purported religion. Now, the employer in that case, you know, opened up the newspaper, read the article and said, oh, wait a second, this is a supervisor. He supervises individuals of all different backgrounds, ethnicities, races, And we think that this viewpoint is disqualifying. You know, we don't want this guy supervising folks that will disagree with his viewpoints and that, frankly, he may be racist towards.